Adventures of the Shadow are on the air, brought to you each week at this time by your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcibly to old and young alike that crime does not pay. A spell of fair weather may fool you into thinking that winter is through for this year. But don't you believe it. There is still cold weather ahead of us. So play safe and make sure you have a good supply of Blue Coal on hand. It's especially wise to make sure you get Blue Coal, because Blue Coal is particularly prepared for home heating. There are many different qualities of coal, as you know. But when you order Blue Coal, you can be sure of getting the finest quality coal for your money. And that means real comfort plus economy. So get in touch with your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. Order your Blue Coal right away. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret. The secret of hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, Altar of Death.
And I can see that travel folder now, Lamont. You want peace and quiet, come to beautiful San Luis, the island paradise.
Do those tom-toms bother you, Margot?
Well, they do funny things to my spine.
Well, probably some native festival. Shall we go back into the hotel?
No, somehow I feel safer out here on the veranda.
You know, interesting thing about those islands. No matter how much modern civilization appears in the cities, back in the bush, back in the jungles, the native reverts to type.
Well, if you think you're making me feel any better, you're wrong. I thought we came to Port San Luis for a rest. Might as well try to get a rest in the subway station.
Howdy. Howdy. Where in places are you? Howdy.
Who's that?
One of the guests. You see, he's coming up on the veranda.
Where's that proprietor? Howdy.
Oh, Mr. Eustace.
Eh? Who called me? Who's there?
Lamont Cranston, Mr. Eustace.
Oh, yes. Couldn't see you very well in this half light. Hello, Miss Lane.
Hello, Mr. Eustace. You look rather worried.
I am a bit. I say, look here, have you seen that native proprietor around anywhere, Cranston?
Only? Well, no, I haven't. Not since dinner.
I don't quite understand all this. There's something mighty strange going on.
I knew it, Lamont. The ceremonial was never listed on the travel folder.
You're quite right, Miss Lane. The village is deserted. Not a soul on the streets and every shop is boarded up tight. There's going to be trouble. I'd like to know about it.
Yes, we all would.
I spoke to one old man who was crouching behind the door of his hut, and all I could get out of him was one native word that he kept repeating over and over.
Well, what was it, Eustace?
It sounded something like Gilmet.
Gilmet?
It is a rare word in Port St. Louis, Miss Lane.
Well, there you are.
The word Gilmet, my friends, is not a word to be spoken lightly.
No? Well, what does it mean, Oney?
It is a native expression, Mr. Cranston, which means the night that eats men.
The night that eats men?
Is that why the natives are hiding behind locked doors?
Yes. It started, Mr. Eustace, some 10 years ago with the disappearance of a Scots explorer and his wife named MacBaird. They vanished from this island and were never seen again. That was 10 years ago this very night.
But these MacBairds could have just gone away of their own accord, couldn't they?
They could have, yes. But on the same night, Miss Lane, every year for 10 years past, two people, a man and a woman, have disappeared without a trace from Port St. Louis. That is why the natives call it Kismet. The knife that eats men.
Dow, ridiculous native superstition.
It does sound fantastic, only.
And decidedly unpleasant.
Look. Look. The great and terrible Kulomo is calling for the yearly sacrifice.
What?
He means that volcanic island off the shore there to the east of San Luis.
Oh, yes.
Why, smoke seems to be rising from its crater.
But that volcano is extinct. Is the island inhabited?
Yes. By the spirits the evil spirits, the rulers of darkness.
Now, now, look here, only I can understand these poor ignorant blighters in the village going overboard on this superstition business. But you've had the advantage of an education. Surely you can't believe all this nonsense.
In your land you have few superstitions. But here on San Luis it is different. I know. I have seen.
Well, I do know it's true, Cranston, that you can't get a native to go within 3 miles of that island.
It is death to set foot on it.
Oh, hey, what was that? Mulhava.
What did you say, Oni?
Lamont is terrified.
Oh, forgive me. Now, look, Oni, look. If you're in trouble or danger, you...
Forgive me, please.
Well, we'll be waiting outside here for you, Oni.
Waiting outside.
Oh, I know you are here somewhere. You have come for me. I am ready to die.
You. You. There in the window.
Gorotungo, Mulhava.
Come. Come. I am ready.
Oni's expression is like
death, Mr. Eustace.
Oh, no, Lamont.
Who killed him?
A native, I'd say. See this tiny poison dart stuck in his throat?
Yes.
That did the job.
I only seemed to know this was coming.
Listen.
Weird flute music again.
Came from somewhere outside. Can you see anything from that window, Margot?
Lamont, there's a figure running down to the beach.
Where?
See? Look there in the moonlight.
He's getting into a canoe.
We've got to stop him. Come on. Out this door here.
There he goes. To be pulling away from shore rapidly.
Can you recognize him?
I'm afraid the moon isn't bright enough for that.
Wait. Whoever it is, he'll go around the island and land somewhere on the opposite shore.
Why do you say that, Miss Lane?
Well, there isn't another body of land anywhere around here that he could escape to,
except that volcanic island, Colomo.
That's where he seems to be headed. Eustace, where can I get a boat?
Lamont.
You're not going to follow us there.
That's right.
In spite of the legend that no one has ever returned from that island?
Yes, Margot. How about it, Eustace?
I have a slow but sturdy fishing launch, Cranston. You may have it on one condition.
Well, what's that?
That you let me come along.
Glad to have you, Eustace. I suppose you'll realize that this isn't going to be exactly a pleasure trip.
I understand.
Well, then, what are we waiting for?
You too, Margo.
Well, you didn't think I was going to stay here on San Luis alone, did you? Come on, let's go.
Can you see him, Eustace?
Five. They're dead on the trail.
Good. Wish I thought to bring a gun with me.
I have one on the boat, Cranston. It's aft in the leather side pocket there. Miss Lane can reach it for you.
Oh, yes. Here it is, Lamont.
Thanks. Eustace, can we get any more speed out of this boat? He's pulling away from the
water. I've got a wide open now. I think he wasn't really fast. I say, Cranston, there's an arm of water just up ahead there that's thick with submerged reefs and rocks. It's a favorite underground of the sharks that infest these waters. Even the native fishermen avoid it.
We have to go through that, Lamont. That man in the canoe is going around it.
We've got to, Margot. We're going to head him off.
We'll be tempting fate if we try him.
It's our one chance to overtake him.
I tell. Mighty slim one at that.
Well, what do you say, Margot? Shall we go after him or turn back?
I know what your choice is, Lamont. And it's mine, too.
Good. I knew you'd say that. You game, Eustace?
Well, it's a good thing I'm a bachelor.
I'm going to risk a shot before he gets too far out of range.
Don't miss. He might be a nasty customer with those poison darts.
Yeah. Well, here goes. Oh, not so good.
Well, what's happened to old dead-eyed Dick, Lamont?
I don't know, Margo. Well, I won't miss this time.
Not a question. Let me conserve our ammunition. What's left in the gun is all I have.
Yes, and we don't know what we're liable to run into on that island.
Hold on. Hold on.
Oh. Yeah. Still in one piece, Eustace?
Righto. This old launch may not be fast, but she's fairly sturdy.
Well, Lamont, I could swear I saw a big shark just licking his chops a moment ago.
Take it easy, Eustace. We'll pick our way through this stretch of water. We've gained enough to afford it.
Righto.
Lamont, look. Those fires on the shore of the island.
I see them.
Oh, they seem to be moving.
You're
Fires are natives holding torches, Margo.
Yes, and some of the evenings are coming out from the island shore in canoes.
Well, the reception committee.
More than that, Prince. That's the fire ceremonial. The death cult.
So, the hunters become the prey.
Well, let's turn back quickly, Lamont.
Those canoes are filled with savages. You know what that means.
I guess you're right, Eustace. Like it is.
Yes, and let's see if we can get a little more speed out of this launch.
Marshal.
Eustace, they're coming at us fast.
Can't get them all out of this boat. I'm trying.
Uh-oh.
Well, Eustace, we couldn't have picked a better time for the motor to go dead.
It's quite an appropriate word at the moment.
And the native's only about 50 yards away from that prey of yours, Lamont.
Well, we still have a gun.
Don't shoot at them, Preston. You haven't enough bullets to do any good. With those blowguns and poison darts, we wouldn't have a chance.
I guess you're right, Eustace.
Lamont.
Yes, Margo.
Any ideas?
Not a glimmer.
Well, we've been in tight places before.
Yes, but this one is a prize winner. Looks like we're in for it, Margo. Here they come.
In just a moment, we'll continue with Act Two of Altar of Death. First, here's something that concerns your health, your comfort, and your pocketbook, all three. What is it? It's simply the advice to heat your home with blue coal. You see, blue coal is tailor-made for your home. That is to say, it's carefully sized and graded to fit the special requirements of your furnace. That's why it gives you even, comfortable, dependable warmth throughout the house in every room. That's why it's also such a money saver. It burns so efficiently that you enjoy real economy with blue coal. When, on top of all this, your home is equipped with the new blue coal automatic heat regulator, then you certainly have a modern home heating combination that's mighty hard to beat. The blue coal heat regulator is easily and quickly installed, quickly removed, too, in case you move. And it's easy to operate. You'll be amazed to discover the thousands of steps, yes, literally thousands, this regulator will save you in the course of a season. Ask your neighborhood blue coal dealer to tell you all about it. He's listed under the words blue coal in the yellow section of your classified phone directory. Now, back to the shadow.
The most savage crew I've ever seen.
A native in the lead boat wants to talk, Lamont.
Huh?
You know fight!
What did he say?
He's asking us to surrender without fighting. They evidently mean to take us alive.
They could kill us in a minute if they wanted to. We still have a chance this way.
Mr. Eustace is right, Lamont. We still have a chance.
You know fight.
Okay. We won't fight. At least temporarily.
I take you to chief. Katomo, Katomo, Katomo!
Largest hut in the village. Must be the chief.
I hope he likes us. Where's Mr. Eustace? He was right behind us a moment ago.
He was hauled off in another direction, Margo.
Well, Lamont, you don't think that...
No. Let's not cross bridges before we come to the house.
Alamora! This chief house. Go in,
mate. Pushing the back is hardly a formal invitation.
Guess he's having much choice, Lamont.
I bring prisoners. This.
Good evening. I've been expecting you.
But
you're not surprised to see a white man here, huh? But we turn up everywhere, I suppose. We'll introduce ourselves later. Meanwhile, I imagine you're rather hungry after your little ocean voyage. We'll fix that immediately.
Aluba!
Yeah, now, look, all we want
no
is...
No trouble at all. Aluba, Kalto, Kongo! I've told them to take your friend into the village to bring food.
Why have you done all this?
Why? My subjects think you are man and wife. That is why your friend has been separated from you. You'll find the Kulti a very peculiar people, with many strange customs. They're idolaters, all of them. Worship a thing called Mulhava.
Mulhava? Then...
Aye. A rather savage deity that the natives feel requires human sacrifice. Beastly chat, Mulhava.
I don't think we're going to like it.
Ah, the lady needs us here. I'm on the very best of terms with the Kulti. As a matter of fact, I shall go on ahead now and have the natives prepare for you.
You're very kind.
I'm happy to oblige.
Lamont.
Yes, Margo.
Did you see the initials on the silver belt buckle he was wearing?
No, I didn't notice.
They were capital M, A, C, capital B.
Capital M, A, C, capital B?
Yes. Didn't Oney tell us that the first two people to vanish from Fort San Luis were a Mr. McBaird and his wife?
Yes, Margo. I'm afraid he did.
Well, you don't seem to mind our little adventure, Mr. Eustace.
Yes, I noticed that too, Margo.
Well, Miss Lang, Mr. Cranston, the supper our absent host has given us is enough to bring a dead man back to health.
You're very gracious, Mr. Eustace. Now, as you were saying while I was gone, Mr. Cranston, this man, Oney, I believe his name was, told you two people who disappeared from Fort San Luis every year on this night. And shortly after telling you this, he was found murdered.
Why do you put that in the form of a question? It's evident that you've been listening to every word we've said.
Aye, Mr. Cranston. A bad habit of mine. Very bad.
Oney also mentioned a man named McBain.
I see. Are you quite finished your meal?
Why, yes, thank you. And now, if you could let us have some fuel for our
boat. No, you must accept my hospitality and stay the night. Or at least part of the night. The natives are well prepared for you.
What's that?
I use this gong to summon my servants.
The natives are coming for the food.
Oh, thank you, my dear. This is my wife. The natives took rather a fancy to her and made her a priestess. We are both devout worshippers, as a matter of fact.
Hey, what's going on here?
Your friend Oney told you about the man and woman who disappear every year from Fort San Luis. Did he name Mr. Cranston?
Yes.
It is my pleasure to inform you, sir, that you and Miss Lane are the two who disappear this year.
No!
Aye. The native in the canoe rather lured you on, I believe. He was the witch doctor of the Kulti tribe who went to Fort San Luis to murder Oney because poor Oney, he knew too much.
Oh, I see. You were behind that, too.
Aye. He'd fallen away from the tribal lord. As for you, you see, a man and a woman must be killed in Moole Harbor's honor on this night. Ill met, as it is called on Fort San Luis.
What is your part in all this, McBain?
For 10 years, I have engineered the disappearances of a man and a woman for the purpose of the Moole Harbor sacrifice.
But why?
This volcanic island is some of the richest diamond territory in the world, Miss Lane.
So that's it.
Aye. I'm paid for my trouble in diamonds, which are worth more to me than to the savages, since I can reach the American and European market. You see, it's a perfect system.
Not quite so perfect as it seems, though, you know.
No?
No. Because you've overlooked the fact that I have Mr. Eustace's revolver.
Oh.
Now, you take it to our boat and see that we...
Yes, Cranston, I forgot to tell you.
What, Eustace?
The gun is only loaded with blanks. You see, I'd never have given it to you if it were actually loaded.
You're in on this, too.
Of course, Miss Lane.
I happened to be Mr. McBaird's contact with his markets abroad. It was an excellent deception, don't you think? Your coming here was planned very carefully.
Oh, Margot.
Don't worry, Margot.
The natives are here.
I will speak to them, my dear.
Agato! Agato! El Santo Gori, Sofa Grani, Grumo, Mulhava!
I have just told my subjects to take you to the Temple of the Altar of Death on the rim of the volcano. There, after due ceremony, you will be cast into its bottomless pit in flames as a sacrifice to our idol, Moole Harbor.
Oh, no, McBaird, it's not going to be as easy.
Thank you, me, you fool.
Hurry, hurry.
Come on, look out! Lamont! Mr. McBaird, your native is killed.
Nay, not yet. I couldn't deprive my people of their innocent little fun.
No. I am saving you both for the fire sacrifice.
Any luck, Lamont?
Afraid not, Margo. This temple's dungeon seems to be hewn out of lava formation.
Will they come for us soon?
Can't say, Margo. I don't know how they run these things.
Oh, Lamont.
Ah, oh, now, Margo. You mustn't let that lunatic McBaird enjoy himself over our fear.
Oh, you're right. Is this it, Lamont?
Looks like it, Margot. I don't see how we can possibly get out.
There's someone at the door. Have they come?
A little sliding panel. There's a face peering in, Margot.
It is I, Mrs. MacBear.
Mrs. MacBear?
I want to help you, as I've tried to help all the other poor souls who've fallen into my husband's power.
Oh.
Oh, I hate him. He's evil.
You hate him?
Aye.
Will you help us escape?
Oh, no. No. I want to, but they'd kill me if I did that. All I can do is to tell you the weak place in my husband's armor. For what you can make out of it.
Yes, Mrs. McGrath?
The natives fear him. They think he's Mulhava's disciple. They've fallen their knees before him. They even made me serve as priestess to keep up the pretense. But if they ever should discover that he uses them and their god for his own selfish ends, they'd turn on him.
I understand you, Mrs. McBear. And I think I see a chance.
What do you mean, Lamont?
Margot, perhaps the shadow can find a way out. Mrs. McBear, there's nothing I can do unless you open that door.
Oh, they'd kill me.
You must, I tell you, if we're all to have a chance.
If I open it, I'll warn you I'm armed, and if you attempt to escape, I'll have to kill you in self-defense.
I agree to those terms, Mrs. McBear.
Very well. Just a moment.
I'd better make a break for it, Margot. I'll be looking out for you.
Good luck, Carol.
Did you feel it, Lane?
Nothing. Nothing.
Yes, so nervous. Mr. Kenton.
Where is he? He's gone, Mrs. McBear.
Gone? Oh, no. I'll be killed for this. They're coming. They're coming.
I'll help you, Mrs. McBear. I'll do my best to help you.
Here comes my husband.
Well, Miss Lane. Mr. West Cranston. Where is he?
Ah, oh, my dear. This is some of your gentle work.
Oh, she couldn't help it. He escaped. She couldn't have stopped him.
What is it, McBear?
Cranston is gone.
Of course, and we're done for. The natives won't take just a woman.
No, they will not. They insist on a man, too. But I think we can work out of that emergency. Don't you, Eustace?
Off you may, McBear.
We have Miss Lane, have we not?
But that's no man.
You forget me. We have you.
Of course.
Yes. Joe, you would do a thing like that. Besides, you need this too much.
I need the natives more, Eustace.
Mulhava, Coro, Sugo!
No, McBear, not me. Not
take that man, take him. He and Miss Lane will make up our sacrifice to the mighty Mulhava.
Oh, Mulhava, we bring this man and woman before your awful presence. Send us good fortune and plentiful food and the shining stones buried in the earth.
Mulhava, Coro,
apply the torch to the man.
Now,
send his soul to Mulhava and cast him into the crater of Kulumo, the flaming sacrifice.
Mulhava,
now, McBear, now, have mercy, have mercy.
Mulhava, Coro.
Now, McBear!
Mulhava, receive this offering. Now, the woman, light the human torch.
Hold on, Dugo.
No, help me.
Drop that brand. Drop it, I say.
Fernando. What's that? I heard the voice.
So, McBear, you would set yourself up as a king.
It's coming from the idol.
Your evil reign is at an end, McBear.
Magato, Mulhava, speak.
You, priest of Mulhava, you understand me. Let there be no more human sacrifices.
Shiva! No more sacrifice.
Release that woman and set her free. Free the man who came to this island with her. And send them both from Kulumo in safety.
Yes, Mulhava. We do as you say. We obey Mulhava. Alomo! Mulhava has spoken.
No! No, you will not do as he says. If those who get back to Port San Luis alive, they'll come for me and take me away.
Mulhava has spoken. We obey. Aluba!
You do as I say. I'm ruler here.
Don't heed this man. Send the prisoners back to Port San Luis. And let there never be a human sacrifice in Kulumo again.
We hear. We do the will of Mulhava.
You listen to me, ignorant savage dog. There's no such thing as Mulhava. That's just a lump of painted clay. I'm Mulhava. I built that fool idol. It's me you'll obey. Do you hear me?
You will not obey him. You will do as I have said.
Yes, we obey.
Aluba!
I'll show you that the idol's made of clay. I'll show you who's more powerful. Watch this! There, it's cracked and broken, your idol, Mulhava. I guess that'll quiet your almighty highness. Well, don't all stand there staring at me.
You break, Mulhava. You die.
Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. It was only a joke. A joke. I'll build you another idol, another one, and don't come no closer to me
you
now.
Die.
Back! Get back, I say!
You
I got a gun
die.
Here! Stop or I'll shoot! Stop!
as they say in the travelogue pictures, there, fading into the setting sun, we take our last look at the beautiful and...
terrible.
And terrible island of Port St. Lucie and Kulumu.
And it was pretty terrible, Lamont. I'll never believe another travel folder. Peace and quiet, huh?
Well, you can believe them from now on, Margot. The government is going to civilize and educate those natives. As for McBain, well, I can't help thinking that he got a sort of poetic justice.
What do you mean?
His own death came in the form of a sacrifice to the clay idol that he had created as a weapon to hold over the heads of the natives. The god he created destroyed him.
In just a moment, we'll bring you a special feature of America at War. But first, we present John Barclay, Blue Coal's home heating expert. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good afternoon, friends. At this time of year, with rapidly changing temperatures, it's very important to know how to bank your fire properly to ensure the utmost comfort. Now, there's no magic about banking your fire, but there is a right way and a wrong way of doing it. For example, many people still cling to the old-fashioned practice of banking the fire with ashes. Of course, this is wrong. It only smothers the fire, and it often causes clinkers. On the other hand, if you bank the fire correctly, you'll not only save fuel, but you'll get quick heat in the morning as soon as you open the draft. Now, if by any chance you're not quite sure of the right method of banking the fire, or if you have any other questions on the operation of your furnace, take my advice. Call your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer and tell him your troubles. He'll be only too glad to send his John Barclay service man to help you. This man is a graduate of our training school. He'll show you how to bank the fire properly. And he can give you many other hints on how to run your furnace so you'll get more and better heat and save fuel besides. This is an exclusive Blue Coal dealer service. Thank you.
The Shadow Program is based on a story copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. We bring you now a dramatic episode that might happen to you.
Hello, Ed. How are you? What's new?
Hiya, Mac. What are you so happy about?
Boy, I'm having a good time these days, Ed. Making good money and spending it, too.
Yeah, listen, fella. This country's at war. No time to throw your dough around.
Oh, come on. Don't be a sourpuss. What do you want me to do with my money?
Buy defense bonds and stamps. And listen, buy them regularly. Every payday.
Right.
Friends, now is no time for extravagance. Now is the time to put your money to work for your country. Buy defense bonds and stamps regularly every payday. Urge your friends to buy. Talk it up among your fellow employees. Many firms already are represented 100%. For example, every single employee of the DL&W Coal Company, producers of blue coal, has subscribed to buy defense bonds regularly. Let's show the axis that for nations as well as for men...
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows...
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. Be sure to listen, and be sure to phone your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer for greater heating comfort at less cost. Remember, keep the home fires burning with Blue Coal. This story was produced by the DL&W Coal Company, distributors of Blue Coal. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.